choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 167, Living with Tariffs and Uncertainty. What has been made abundantly clear in the first 100 days of the second Trump administration is that self-imposed increases in cost, tariffs, coupled with policy uncertainty, is the environment we will be facing for the foreseeable future. And let me be clear on this. Tariffs are taxes imposed by the federal government on our people that increase the cost of goods we buy. They are not paid for by other countries. They are paid for by whoever is purchasing those goods, typically, unless manufacturers decide to absorb that whatever that cost is. It is a tax on the American people. And with that, plus all the other uncertainties revolving around geopolitics, regarding, you know, I'm going to go down today. But the bottom line is that all of that going on, it's making people nervous. In our planning work with our clients, every day we feel questions about how to try to think through and navigate rationally the enormous complexities, the daily bombardment of these so-called headlines as the White House gyrates from one position to the next. And because of these gyrations, ordinary people who are just trying to get through the day are feeling it. But even hoity-toity high-end, top-of-the-heap CEOs that are trying to lead businesses and trying to help decide the direction of how to manufacture goods or where to spend and so on. It's very difficult to navigate an environment that is constantly in flux, where the rules of the game are changing on a not just a day-by-day basis, and sometimes an hourly basis in the news cycle. And so what I would stress to begin this conversation, and I say this as a business owner too, I mean, as I'm looking at, you know, am I going to hire more people later this year? What am I going to do in my business? Very difficult to forecast. And that's where we're seeing lots of publicly traded companies, especially as we start earnings season for Q1, pull their guidance and just go, we can't give you a forecast. We can't even set goals and objectives because we don't know how our business is going to be treated literally on a day by day or a week by week basis. We don't know if our products, you know, we go and order products from, you know, for a particular country or various materials, and we don't know how they're going to be treated by the time they even get to the boat, let alone when they get to harbor. So if you're feeling like this is, you know, really tough for you and your home and so on, I'm with you. But it's, and it's being felt all the way up to the C-suite on down to the ordinary and everyone in between. It's very difficult to try to find a footing and really get a, feel like you have an established foundation under you when it, because of these gyrations, it feels like it's very difficult to feel confident in a strategy. So what I would stress to begin this conversation about how do we constructively move ahead is that you can only control what you can control, no more, no less. And so we have to kind of almost embrace or acknowledge that this uncertainty is something we're going to just have to live with, like it or not, at least for the foreseeable future. So today, centered on that idea, I want to share some ways that you can help build internal stability, internal integrity internal certainty in your household and your day-to-day life to help cushion against a world that is offering a reality that is increasingly volatile and increasingly uncertain. And this isn't to say to hole up and never do anything and whatever, but it is to say, okay, you do personally have certain levers and certain things that you can do that can help you shape your life in ways that are more, you know, deterministic, that are more certain than relying on government or relying on politicians, relying on the news to provide that certainty or inject that certainty in your life. Because I'm just going to say, I don't see that happening anytime soon. And I think most people would agree. So and there are four kind of areas I've picked out with respect to this. The first one I've picked out with this is starting with your current cash flow. And the simple question I'm going to ask is, are you saving more than you're spending? Or are you earning more than you're spending? Because if the answer is no to either or both of those, you got an opportunity there. Are you cash flow positive? Because if not, these tariffs and this whole situation is going to be even more pressure. So I think at that point, it's really important that to start really taking a look at, are there regular discretionary purchases you could cut back on a bit? Or maybe, you know, some ordering pizza and Grubhub and DoorDash and some of these things that maybe, you know, have picked up in the last, you know, 6 months to a year, you know, almost as a means of a band-aid of sorts as things have gotten more stressful. And it has been a stressful last few months. But sometimes we match that stress by trying to take things off of our own plate or just by spending just because it can feel good to buy a thing. But are there some discretionary purchases or, you know, spending or shopping or whatever? They go, you know what, we've had some fun with that, but we need to pull back on the Amazon. Or we need to pull back a bit on the Poshmark or whatever it is. Are there subscriptions you just do not use? Did you add on to things in the fall and winter? It gets cold. I live just north of Chicago, and I'm like, yeah, winters are cold around here. You bundle up, you wrap up with some streaming services, and hibernate a little bit. Well, are you still going to be using those things, all those things, all at once? Or are there some subs that you could cut back on, save a little bit of money? When you are buying new things, maybe it's time to start really filtering those or putting those through a hard lens of, is this a need? Or is this more of a want? Or if this is a need, does this need to happen immediately with every other need I have at the same time? Or can I sequence these things out? I was working with one couple here earlier this week where they had a few different car repairs that they needed to do, but we were able to group them into a couple of different sort of systems, essentially, where it's like, okay, we can do this part and have this cost hit now. And these are the biggest, most important needs for the vehicle. And then in 3 to 6 months' time, maybe you're tackling some other needs that you're like, okay, now we can take that damage and that hit versus, oh, I've got $3,000 worth of car work to do or $2,000 worth of car work to do. I must get it all done at once. Most of the time, that's not true. Not all the time. I understand there are problems that can get there. But, you know, some of the time, actually a good chunk of the time, it's a matter of multiple maintenance things or multiple repair things that maybe we can part that thing out a little bit and spread the damage out over a little more time. So first off, starting with your current cash flow, making sure you are earning more than you're spending, and that if you're not, to right-size that by taking a real detailed look at where is my money going and what can I do about that, essentially. The second part to that equation, though, goes beyond spending and says, you know, let's talk about earnings. Have you invested into your career? And investing into your career can mean a few different things. It can mean doing some professional networking and, you know, maybe attending some professional development. Maybe that's a conference or a training of some sort or a course, a live course or something like that, where you get to meet other people in your industry or get a chance to meet other executives or other hiring managers and that sort of thing. Are you putting yourself in a place to be seen? That doesn't cost nearly as much as the next stuff I'm going to talk about, which is, have you considered going after additional certifications that are relevant relevant certifications. Notice the word relevant there. I am a huge opponent of people that go after designations and certs simply to put more letters in front of their name. I am a proponent of certifications and skill building that are going to produce meaningful additions and credentials to your ability to do work at a higher level and get paid more. So you kind of got to filter these things a little bit. It's not just about, oh, I can get this designation, I can add these letters, but are you going to meaningfully contribute more with those skills? Or maybe you're looking at going, you know what, I've got a lot of ability, I'm great at my work. Have you done any job prospecting? Even if you have a job, and I think even more crucial while you have a job, that you do these things, because if we do run into a situation, if you are concerned that we're going to eventually be looking at a recession or some sort of financial collapse or, you know, some pretty dire situation, if you think that that's on the horizon, you know, you have an opportunity then to be better prepared. It's kind of like being able to see on a radar that there's a hurricane 500 miles off of your shoreline. At 500 miles off, you can board the windows. You can prep really well before you get the heck out of its way. And if the hurricane doesn't hit land in your area or it veers a different direction or whatever, well, you're still really well prepared. You still have that there. And so to that end, if you're job prospecting and hunting and building yourself up, if something happens to your employment, you're ready to go. You're already doing all the things you need to do to find that next gig. And if you find a really good gig while you have a job, and this happened with another client of mine this week where they did some market research, they're taking a look at other prospects and other jobs, and they were able to go back to their employer and say, hey, I'm a key person for you, and market's paying 25, 30% more for me. You want to keep me, you can either increase my salary now, or I can take, or, you know, you can expect to lose me. They paid up. They paid right up. I will admit I was a little surprised, because that's, you know, and granted, my client said they had a very good relationship with management. So that's a special take. If you don't have such a relationship, I don't know if I would have taken the same tact, but it worked. Bluntly, it worked. So they were right. They had the right read on that. And so to that end, by earning those additional dollars, and I'm talking, this was a pretty big increase in pay for the same role, but by standing up for yourself with data showing how you're making the company money or how you're saving them money or making them more efficient or whatever, you end up shoring up your own wealth and giving you the ability to build wealth and build savings and do all the things you want to do faster by building up your career. I think it's one of the most underused, underthought about levers when it comes to people's finances. And I think it's just because people are scared about conflict. I think they're worried about, oh, I'm going to offend someone. No, you're not. Or if they're offended by you doing that, guess what? You had no future there. What you just learned is you had no future there. And then you need to, that all only just fuels the notion that, hey, all right, it's time to move on and go somewhere where they're going to appreciate you more. And not just say, oh, that's nice, but pay you more, compensate you better for this. Have you invested into your career? Number three, saving before you spend. Budgeting your savings and then budgeting your spending around your savings is an approach. I wish more people would take it, frankly. You need to have, at this point, especially with how volatile and uncertain things are, I strongly encourage you to consider having 6 months of current expenses in emergency savings. And typically for our clients, emergency savings is a combination of cash and CDs, particularly if you are accumulating wealth. If you are retired or close to retirement, you're probably going to want more than that. That's sitting on the sideline just to be able to weather, you know, significant volatility without being caught needing money in a down market and having to sell assets when they are not being valued as high. You don't want to sell low and buy high. You want to do the other way around. But if you're sitting there and going, I need cash from my investments every month, or you need, you know, or some sort of distribution, then having a set of funds set aside that is not tied to the market, that is not subject necessarily, especially if it's in an FDIC insured account, not subject to market risk, not subject to market loss. Putting it in a high yield FDIC account subject to FDIC limits would be a really great way to go for at least a portion of your wealth. And I'm a big fan in terms of savings, looking for institutions that offer high yield savings. There are larger institutions that do this. Capital One's a good example. Marcus by Goldman Sachs is a good example. And where they offer really competitive interest rates with no, you know, minimums for balances, with no account fees. It's good stuff. And by the way, no, we are not. I mentioned these things. There are other institutions that offer them as well. And we don't get anything, by the way, for mentioning them. I just think these are high quality institutions that have, you know, that are have done a really good job of running those programs, those high yield savings programs, for years. So, you know, and the other part of that too is I favor high yield savings at large institutions because those institutions are subject to too big to fail laws. I am very concerned. Conversely, I am extraordinarily concerned with money market accounts and other more complex savings vehicles being offered by small banks and credit unions. These small banks and credit unions do not have the same risk control requirements as larger institutions. And what we're seeing is we are seeing private equity companies partner with smaller institutions like that intentionally to avoid the risk management and capital requirements of too big to fail. That is not where I want my emergency savings. I want my emergency savings somewhere where they're not going to get too cute about it. I don't want to think about whether my savings is safe. And so to that end, saving before you spend, having a good chunk of that savings be in cash. And if you haven't built that cash quite yet, getting aggressive about that can really help with respect to not only de-risking your personal situation, but I think when you do that, you start to feel more confident in a world that is increasingly shaky. Save before you spend. That's number three. And the last one, number four, build routines into your daily living. I think it's important that in order to promote stability, that for a lot of people, having a framework of how you live life that is consistent from one day to the next, or even just portions of your daily living that is consistent from one day to the next. I'll share with you. I mean, and that comes in a few different vectors. Working on your physical daily living, getting exercise. Me personally, over the last year and a half, a big thing for me has been going on a daily walk, multiple daily walks. And, you know, starting in, I give you an example. In 2023, I averaged walking about about 2.5 miles a day. Not very far. In 2024, when I started to commit to this and say, I'm going to walk much more consistently, I was walking a little over 4 miles a day on average. This year, I'm pushing, already close to 5 miles a day through the winter, no less. And we'll probably average, over this year, probably closer to 6 to 7 miles a day. The other thing that's happened when I've done that is I've dropped about 70 pounds. Lo and behold, when you sit there and get up and exercise and get some oxygen, get your body moving, start burning some calories, you start feeling better and you start looking better. I got a long way to go on that front. I still have a terrific face for radio. But I think that working on that physical can lead into a fair amount of the stress kind of melting away a little bit as well, getting some exertion out there. Working on the physical, I do a little bit of barbell work as well. But the walk is, getting steps in every day is important. Work on your mental. Taking time to just quietly think or read or sit in silence or meditate. But taking time to just allow your mind to relax, allow yourself to digest information without the noise of the day. The way I do this is I get up pretty early in the morning usually, but like this morning I got up at 4 a.m. And I start every morning by making a pot of coffee. And then while that's going on, I feed my cat some treats. And once I've had that cup of coffee, and I usually catch about 15 minutes of Bloomberg just to kind of catch the the general headlines and that we'll call it the zeitgeist of the day, the spirit of the day. Where are things kind of heading a little bit? I tend to do a couple of other things. I'll do some light housework. I'll do a bit of gardening. I'll go out there for about anywhere from a half hour to an hour to do watering, weeding, just again, light stuff. I'll get a walk in for a mile and a half. You know, so by the time I get to six to 6:30, okay, maybe 7 if I got up at 5. But by the time I get to that point, I've already had a good cup of coffee or two. I've gotten to catch up on some financial things initially. Maybe I've read a couple articles along the way. I've gotten in 3,000 to 4,000 steps, and I've gotten a little bit of exertion in the yard, getting my garden. I mean, and how great is it on top of that to work on the garden a little bit, and then lunchtime rolls around or dinner rolls around, and I got vegetables I can pick and eat. Which goes to number 3, working on your diet. More veggies, more beans, less meat. It's, you know, that's where I'm at anyway. I was a big meat eater. I love meat. I enjoy it very much. But I was eating too much of it. Just straight up. Beans are amazing. Legumes are amazing for you. Grains are, you know, depending on what you have going on. I mean, yeah, obviously I'm not here to be your dietitian, but I am here to say you need to look at it and consider carefully what you're putting into yourself. If you don't think that's not going to affect your physical, your mental, and that if you don't think your physical and mental aren't going to affect your finances, you're wrong. These things all matter. And I think the last thing in the building routines is also, I think it's also important to make sure that your home is clean and organized. Make sure your home is a place you want to be in. And if it's a place that you don't enjoy or don't want to be in, or maybe you haven't really thought that much about making your home really meet who you are. I think one area, for example, that gets neglected a lot when looking at homes is the bedroom. Bedroom is a place where most people spend a quarter to a third of their life. But do you have a decent bed to sleep in? How about sheets? I mean, I know, again, these are kind of consumerish things, but it's like, if you're going to go and retreat there in the evening and that's how you're going to start your day, you know, if there's a way to make that more relaxing, more comfortable, maybe that's a fresh coat of paint on the walls. Maybe it's a new lighting fixture, a new fan. Maybe it's a little bit of reorganization of the room or some new sheets or whatever. But refreshing that space and making that a place where you recharge and refresh gives you kind of the energy and the leaping point to do all the things I've described for the last 20 minutes, basically. So number 4 for me, building routines into your daily living. So yeah, and so that's just it. As we're looking at this, living with tariffs, living with uncertainty, having to navigate a world that seems to lead to a lot of analysis paralysis, that seems to foment indecision. I think there are some key ways that we can still make good decisions. Decisions that will lead us to better outcomes and help in a way buffer from whatever is going on the outside so that we can be our best selves even amidst a storm like that. And again, those 4 key things, starting with your current cash flow, making sure that that's in a healthy spot, and if it's not, addressing it, investing in your career, saving before you spend, building savings and building that a real priority, and then building routines and working on yourself, your daily living, your physical, your mental, your diet, and living in a healthy, organized, clean environment. These are things that, generally speaking, are pretty controllable. And so that's what I would encourage you to start really taking a look at and addressing as a means of starting to find that you know, foundation under you, so that if there are other things you want to see happen in life, if there are other things you want to go do, if there are changes you want to see in the world, that you're leaping from, that you're taking action from a foundation that's taking care of you on the day-to-day basis, that you can control. I hope these suggestions and ideas help. My name is Stephen Briggs. I'm chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial. Please make sure to find us on social media. We've got a very active Facebook, Instagram. Check us out on either of those platforms, LinkedIn, and then, of course, our Briggs Financial website, where you can find all the other episodes, 167 in total, BriggsWealth.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.